Good morning, and welcome to the West Valley News Digest. I'm Karen Kelly, your volunteer reader. Today is Saturday, January 10th, 2026. I'll be starting out with news from the West Valley View, which covers Buckeye, Avondale, Goodyear, and Tolleson. I'll then be reading from the Wickenburg Sun, and at the bottom of the hour, I'll be covering news from Glendale, Peoria, and Surprise. So let's get started with news from westvalleyview.com. Our first article is Goodyear Mayor Pazillo Receives Humanities Award, article by Joshua Fenty. Along with his role as a public servant to Goodyear, Mayor Joe Pazillo contributes to various charitable causes and community work in the West Valley, not only his home city. For his dedication to supporting children with special needs, along with military service members, Glendale-based artist and advocate Yvonne Wayne presented him with the United Humanities Project Public Service Award. "The mayor of Goodyear is an exceptional man with a heart for his people," Wayne said in a statement. "Thank you, Mayor Joe Pazillo, for your public service in supporting our living and fallen heroes and kids with autism and special needs." The ceremony unfolded on December 23rd at the Zinc Apartments Clubhouse and brought together various groups in Glendale, including the Luke Air Force Base Honor Guard, to acknowledge Pazillo's work in the community. The Honor Guard performed a presentation of colors for the mayor, while a representative from Grace Walk Church sang the national anthem. Pazillo said he feels there should be a greater focus on individuals such as Wayne who make major positive contributions to their communities. "Unfortunately, there's not as much of what I would like to see being covered out there. Good deeds, good things, and people who do a lot of good work out there," he said. "I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about Yvonne, teaching the kids with autism and trying to combat any social stigma and getting them back into society and through her art program and comics. I think what she does is really great, and I was very proud to be part of that and part of the celebration." Sheriff Gerald Jerry Sheridan was also awarded at the ceremony, along with other representatives from fire and police departments throughout the region. A social cultural anthropologist, an advocate for autistic youth, and supporter of veterans and first responders across the West Valley, much of Wayne's activism is focused in the Glendale area. She's the creator of Focus Comics, which follows an autistic, crime-fighting superhero, and she uses the story as an educational tool to help youths with special needs develop arts skills. Through the main character, Focus, Wayne says she hopes to give them an opportunity to feel seen and represented. Additionally, she organizes various events annually that celebrate the sacrifice of veterans and active military service members in the West Valley. Pazillo said he has shown his support for many of her endeavors, making appearances at events for Focus Comics and the Young Autistic Artists, as well as the Military Heroes. Following the award ceremony, the mayor said he hopes to continue working with the autism advocate in the future. He expressed gratitude and admiration for the work that she does. "I sent her a text the other day that said, 'When do you sleep?'" Pazillo said with a laugh. "What she does is awesome, and I'm hoping to continue working with her and try to see if I can help her get some grants, because she uses a lot of her resources to do this." For Pazillo, a large part of his duties as a city leader involved going out into the community and meeting residents' needs. In addition to his job as mayor, he is also on the Southwest Lending Closet's board of directors. He explained that volunteerism is big in Goodyear, raising the example of Goodyear Ballpark's upkeep by volunteer labor. "Many of those volunteers," he said, "have completed hundreds of hours of community service." Additionally, the mayor said he is active in Goodyear's communities and schools, serving dinner to the community for Thanksgiving, reading to children, presenting awards to students, and appearing at various ribbon-cutting ceremonies. An ideal future, according to Pizzillo, is one where communities in the West Valley support one another. The community only benefits when we all work together to do good things out there, and I think that's great, as opposed to seeing all the negative stuff that unfortunately is unfolding in our nation as we speak, he said. It's really important that we all support each other for the betterment of the whole, for the community itself. And that concludes the article. Goodyear Mayor Pizzillo receives Humanities Award. The next article is Goodyear City Council Approves Utility Rate Increases, article by Joshua Fenty. The Goodyear City Council recently approved a 4-year utility rate plan for water, wastewater, and solid waste programs, increasing the rates by approximately 5.5% up to 8% annually across the board for residential and commercial customers. Deputy City Manager Keeney Knutson delivered part of the presentation detailing the changes and addressing concerns about the rising costs. We've heard that our city rates are already expensive, especially on the water and wastewater side, Knutson said. There are reasons behind it, and most of them are good reasons and are related to unique aspects and challenges presented by Goodyear. Councilmember Vicki Gillis expressed reservations about the increase to the utility rates. Whereas I appreciate all the work everybody put into this, I believe we need to ask ourselves as a city, have we done enough to keep our costs down, she said? Can we do something more on the city side to reduce this burden on the ratepayers? I believe the city needs to look at itself more before it looks to residents to fund these increases. I can't help but wonder if a total increase of 23.4% over 4 years is necessary. Following the council's 5-2 vote, the rate increase will be effective beginning February 2026. According to finance manager Ryan Biddle, in the following 4 years through 2029, residential customers can expect the following annual rate increases. Water rate increase of 6.75%. Wastewater rate increase of 5.5%. Solid waste management rate increase of 8%. The average monthly bill for each service will increase by 5.8% in 2026 and 2027 and 5.9% in 2028 and 2029, Biddle said. Meanwhile, commercial customers can expect the following annual rate increases. Water rate increase of 6.75%. Wastewater rate increase of 5.5%. The City of Goodyear does not provide solid waste services to commercial entities. The average monthly bill increase for commercial users' water and wastewater services is 6.6% through 2029. Both the Citizen Committee, along with City Council, approved of all rate increases for residential and commercial customers. On account of the Council's decision, there will be no annual increase to the storm water fee for residential and commercial customers, contrary to the Citizen Committee's recommendation. According to Knutson, one of the main reasons why Goodyear's water and wastewater rates are expensive has to do with the city's geographic location. The finance manager expanded on the matter, explaining that the terrain places limitations on where wells can be erected, yielding the need for additional infrastructure to connect all wells into the water system. Goodyear is reliant on groundwater and surface water, he explained, which requires additional treatment to be discharged as usable. The reason for this, Water Services Director Barbara Chappelle explained, is that much of Goodyear's groundwater contains arsenic and has high salinity, which can only be removed by reverse osmosis. The process to treat the water is very energy intensive, she said, and various chemicals used in the process have increased in price by 111%. Additionally, the deputy city manager said that Goodyear is not able to rely on the lower-cost water resource from the Salt River Project, unlike other cities in the West Valley, as outlined in a decision made decades ago. The city of Goodyear uses cap water from the Colorado River, which Biddle noted is much more expensive, costing over $8 million annually. Finally, in response to criticism regarding the city's management of rising costs, Knutson highlighted that the Water Services Department has undertaken various measures to control the costs the best it can, including use of automation, implementing alternative, cost-effective maintenance strategies, leveraging grant funding, seeking regional partnerships, and optimizing treatment plant operation. He said that Water Services has also implemented all of the recommendations from the Water Conservation Committee years ago to ensure that the city's water use is sustainable. According to Knutson, recent years have seen general inflation and rising costs. Unlike other cities, he said, Goodyear did not implement inflation-related rate increases. City staff used two of our core values, adaptability and innovation, to be able to stay within the five-year rate plan structure that council approved in 2021, he said. These are rates that our residents and commercial properties pay for using city water and wastewater services. This is not related to growth or expansion of our systems. Growth does pay for growth, but this is about operating and maintaining our current system as it is. Biddle added that the city is not immune to operational cost pressures, which are impacted by limited suppliers, commodity prices, and tariffs. He said the city pays $5 million annually in electricity, chemical, and fuel costs, all of which the city must address with its budget. The deputy city manager began the presentation by acknowledging stormwater fee concerns from the original meeting in November and leading up to the meeting on December 15. He explained that the item was not in the action for the meeting because it was already included in the recommended rate plan. Knutson said that raising rates isn't a comparable discussion and is a difficult decision for the council to make. Following the retreat in October, he said, the council expressed disapproval of a new stormwater fee as part of the current utility rate plan. Toward the end of the discussion, Director Chappelle, in response to a question from Councilmember Trey Terry, assured the city's residents that the rate increases are not a sign that Goodyear is running out of water. We are not running out of water, Chappelle said. This rate is strictly based on the cost of service to provide safe, reliable drinking water to our residents and collect and treat the sewage that we get back. And this concludes the article, Goodyear City Council Approves Utility Rate Increases. Our next article, Friendship Park debuts pickleball courts, renovated dog park. Article by West Valley View staff. Friendship Park has received major upgrades. Avondale unveiled 8 new pickleball courts and a newly renovated dog park at 12325 West McDowell Road. The dog park renovation includes new shade canopies, benches and drinking fountains for both pets and people, along with an upgraded irrigation and improved maintenance access. A redesigned plaza-style entrance and a new public art installation are also part of the project. The city invested $1.33 million in the upgrades, aimed at making the park more comfortable and usable year-round. The new pickleball complex features 8 lighted courts designed for day and night play, along with shaded seating and sidewalk connections. The courts represent a $1.44 million investment and are expected to become a hub for players and spectators. And this concludes the article, Friendship Park Debuts Pickleball Courts, Renovated Dog Park. And this concludes news from the westvalleyview.com. Remember, if you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org/broadcast info and audio/on demand. Now let's move on to news from the Wickenburg Sun. Our first article is Wickenburg Real Estate Market Shows Stability and Long-Term Strength in 2025. Article by Laura Koffenauer. As 2025 comes to a close, residential resale data for Wickenburg and its surrounding communities reflects a market that has moved out of the rapid growth phase of recent years and into a more balanced, sustainable cycle. While the pace of appreciation has moderated, the underlying strength of the local market remains clear, supported by steady sales volume, stable pricing, and continued buyer interest. Wickenburg itself continued to lead the area in residential resale activity. In 2025, the area recorded 317 closed residential sales, up from 291 in the year 2024 and 251 in the year 2023. This three-year upward trend highlights the town's ongoing appeal as a primary residence, retirement destination, and second home market. Proximity to local services, community events, and recreational opportunities continues to attract buyers seeking both lifestyle and long-term value. Surrounding communities experienced more modest activity, which is typical for smaller, rural markets. Congress recorded 31 sales in 2025, down from 43 the previous year, while Morristown closed 21 sales compared to 34 in 2024. Yarnell, Peoples Valley, and Agia posted lower transaction counts but remained active, with sales reflecting buyer selectivity rather than a lack of demand. These areas continue to appeal to buyers seeking acreage, privacy, or more affordable price points. Pricing trends across the Wickenburg area point to normalization rather than decline. In 2025, the average residential sales price was approximately $567,000, with a median sales price near $512,000. While appreciation was more modest than in earlier years, values continued to rise at a healthier pace. This shift has helped restore balance to the market, reducing volatility and supporting long-term stability. Price per square foot followed a similar pattern. The average price per square foot in 2025 hovered around $330, reflecting incremental growth year over year. Buyers remained willing to pay for quality construction, updated interiors, and desirable locations, but pricing accuracy became more critical. Homes that were well prepared and properly priced continued to sell, while properties that missed the mark experienced longer marketing times. Wickenburg Ranch remained an important contributor to overall market performance. The community recorded 75 residential sales in 2025, compared to 84 in 2024 and 71 in 2023. Demand for newer homes, resort-style amenities, and low-maintenance living remained steady, helping support higher price points and reinforcing overall market values. Inventory levels at year-end further illustrate market balance. With 232 active listings, buyers have more choice than in recent years, while sellers still benefit from steady demand. As the market moves into 2026, Wickenburg's real estate landscape remains defined by stability, thoughtful decision-making, and long-term confidence. We will continue to review the market next week with a focus on commercial and vacant land sales. Data provided by Cromford Report and Arizona Regional MLS. And this concludes the article, Wickenburg real estate market shows stability and long-term strength in 2025. Our next article is Wickenburg High School to welcome the class of 2030. Article by Wickenburg High School Principal Garrett Mayer. In an era of massive schools and crowded hallways, Wickenburg High School continues to prove that a personalized education makes all the difference. To welcome the next generation of Wranglers, WHS invites 8th grade students and their families to Future Freshman Night on January 21st from 5:30 to 7 p.m. This evening will offer a deep dive into what makes being a Wrangler a great experience for students. At the heart of Wickenburg High School is its commitment to small school values. With smaller class sizes than many neighboring districts, WHS ensures that no student is just a number. We take pride in knowing every student by name and personalizing the student experience in academics, athletics, and activities. We offer many opportunities in these areas that one would see at a large institution, but with the mentorship and sense of community that only a school like ours can provide. For students looking to turn their passions into a profession, the Career and Technical Education, CTE, programs will be on display at this event. WHS has invested heavily in programs that bridge the gap between graduation and the workforce. During the event, families can tour specialized facilities for agricultural science, culinary arts, business, coding, and film and TV. These programs allow students to earn industry-recognized certifications and gain real-world experience before they even receive their diplomas. In addition, the Del E. Webb Center for the Performing Arts will be on display. WHS students benefit from a unique professional partnership with the Webb Center, where aspiring actors, musicians, and technicians have the rare opportunity to train and perform in a world-class professional theater. This partnership brings professional touring acts to the community and provides students with mentorship from industry experts, making the WHS Performing Arts Program a great opportunity for students. The evening will begin with a welcome address in the Webb Center, followed by an open house style tour of the campus. Whether you are interested in our academics, athletics, arts, or activities, Future Freshman Night is the first step in your journey. I am, you are, we are all Wranglers. And this concludes the article, Wickenburg High School to Welcome the Class of 2030. Next up, obituaries. Mary Ann Corcoran passed away December 17th. Next up, around the town. Free Public Star Party, January 10th. The Wickenburg Stargazers will host a free public star party tonight, January 10th, at the Vulture Mine Road location. All ages are welcome. Sunset is at 5:22 p.m., so attendees are asked to arrive before 5:45 p.m. to avoid blinding others with headlights. Please drive south on Vulture Mine Road, 3.2 miles from the traffic light, at U.S. Highway 60 and Vulture Mine Road. A sign will be posted on the right. Drive in about 300 feet to reach the viewing area. If skies are 20 to 30% cloudy, including thin haze layers, the star party will be canceled. If tonight's event is canceled, the backup date will be for January 17th. Attendees are encouraged to bring a chair and warm clothing. Come out to look through telescopes and enjoy many deep sky objects. For updates, visit their Facebook page at Wickenburg Stargazers. And our next event is entitled Community Blood Drive, set for January 13th. The town of Wickenburg, in partnership with Vitalant, will host a community-wide blood drive on Tuesday, January 13th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Wickenburg Community Center, located at 160 North Valentine Street. Community members are encouraged to participate and help support patients in need of life-saving blood donations. As a thank you, all donors will receive a voucher for a complimentary one-day admission to the Arizona Renaissance Festival. Vitalant staff will be on site to ensure a safe and efficient donation experience. Appointments are encouraged, though walk-ins will be accepted as space allows. To schedule an appointment or learn more, visit Vitalant, and that's spelled VITALANT.org. Be sure to use blood drive code 100-54825. For more information, contact the Town of Wickenburg Recreation Department at area code 928-668-0552. Next up, This Week in Wickenburg History. 60 years ago, January 13th, 1966, Fast Highway to be popular. With the completion and opening of the Bell Road extension from the U.S. Highways 60, 70, 89, 93 to the Lake Pleasant Road, scheduled for this week, motorists now have available a new, fast, direct route that avoids the congested traffic areas in Phoenix and environs. The 3.25-mile extension takes off the Wickenburg-Phoenix Highway at a point about halfway between the Litchfield Park and Surprise Avenue roads, crosses the Santa Fe Railroad tracks, and heads due east to the Lake Pleasant Road. From that point to the Black Canyon Highway and Scottsdale Road, about 10 miles further east, a paved road has been in use for some time past. Mr. Mayfield said that the new road open, a motorist can drive from 60 to 70 to Scottsdale Road with only two stops, the Black Canyon and Cave Creek Road. 30 years ago, January 10th, 1996. No, Walmart's not coming. Addressing a rumor he said surfaces every 2 years or so, town planner Jerry Strickland at last week's town council meeting said that no big box retailer was coming into Wickenburg. This is the usual rumor that comes around every 2 years, said Strickland, referring to past stories that a huge retailer, in this case Walmart, was planning to build a store in or near Wickenburg. Strickland said there has been no contract of town officials by any big box retailer, Walmart or any others. 10 years ago, January 6, 2016, officers commended for saving life in threatening situation. Four Wickenburg police officers received the prestigious life-saving award from former interim police chief Dennis Young on Monday during the town council meeting of January 6. The award was related to a call of service where the officers put themselves in harm's way, acting quickly and bravely when a North Washington Street female was reported to have threatened a neighborhood with a handgun and talked about killing herself. According to the reports, officers arrived at the house and from the yard attempted to talk the woman into giving up the weapon. As the scene unfolded over the course of an hour or so, the woman inside the house swallowed a large amount of pills, told officers she had done so, and locked herself in her house. The officers then entered the house by force, where she thrust a large knife at them, according to reports. By that time, she had begun to succumb to the pills she had ingested. The officers restrained her and rushed her to an ambulance for medical care. And this concludes the week in Wickenburg history. And we'll conclude with the animal of the week. And this is through the Humane Society of Wickenburg. Their phone number is 928-684-8801. And today we're focusing on a kitty cat named Toes. Yes, you heard me right. Toes. T-O-E-S. Toes is a domestic short hair female weighing 6 pounds, and she's been at the shelter since November 8th. Her adoption fee is $50, And the bio says, Toes is a darling girl made of pure sweetness and toe beans. She's a tiny helper, always nearby to assist with chores or claim your lap. Gentle, affectionate, and endlessly entertaining, Toes is the perfect companion for someone wanting a lovely, loving shadow. And this concludes news from the Wickenburg Sun. Remember, you can take Sun Sounds with you. You can get our stream and on demand on our new Sun Sounds of Arizona app for Apple and Android phones. I'm Karen Kelly, and you're listening to the West Valley News Digest on Sun Sounds of Arizona. For the remaining time, I'll be reading news from Glendale, Peoria, and Surprise from yourvalley.net, as well as the online editions of the Glendale, Peoria, Surprise Independence, the Glendale Star, and Peoria Times. So let's continue. Our article next is Glendale Prepares for Change in 2026, article by Richard Smith. Glendale is preparing for a year of change in 2026 with a renovated city hall slated to open, a city manager taking office this month, a recent hire as the Glendale Chamber of Commerce CEO, and three city council seats are up for grabs in the August elections, with at least one new council member guaranteed. Here are four things to look forward to in 2026. 1. Downtown gets new centerpiece with modern City Hall. Dubbed the Downtown Campus Reinvestment Project by Glendale staff, the renovations to City Hall began in August 2022 with concepts and designs. Work on the $94 million project to transform City Hall and the immediate area around it began in late 2023. As this year began, Glendale said the City Hall remains on track for a spring 2026 ribbon cutting. Most of the work now is at ground level outside of the south facade, City Architect Eddie Garcia said during a presentation at the December 9, 2025 Council Workshop. Where the back of the link for the bridge is, there's a two-story space, and that's being glazed as we speak. That's the last of the curtain wall that's being installed on the north facade. We'll be moving in to the end of the calendar year with all of those things completed. 2, changing face of council resumes with August election. Glendale had a largely static city council for a decade before three new members joined in 2024, Leandro Balanegro, Lupe Conchas, and Diana Guzman. That unit has been stable since then and should stay the same until the end of 2026. One change is for certain. In November, longtime Barrel District Councilmember Bart Turner announced he will not seek re-election. In December, he endorsed Lisa Baker for the seat. Michael Callis announced his candidacy in October and is endorsed by Guzman. Balanegro said he intends to run for the first time in the Ocotillo District. He replaced Jamie Aldama in 2024. Rory Gorey was the first candidate to announce in mid-August. He will run against Balanegro and has an endorsement from Conscious. Cholla District Council member Lauren Tomachoff had not formally announced her candidacy, at least until the past weekend, when she posted her campaign website on Facebook. City manager, chamber, CEO have say in business community. New city manager Patrick Banger starts the job January 12th, arriving from Gilbert to replace Kevin Phelps, nearly a year after Phelps decided to step down. As he said in a December interview, downtown Glendale will be an early focus. The Glendale Chamber of Commerce hired Zach Yenser as CEO last fall and began in the role. At times, the relationship between City Hall and the Chamber have been frosty, with new players in place, their by-play bears watching. And 4, VAI Resort enters year without opening day target. The $1.2 billion mega resort near State Farm Stadium took pains to not commit to an opening date in 2026. Owners originally expected it to open with less amenities than planned now in January 2023. As VAI continues to grow, current and future city leaders are confident VAI will be worth the wait. Do residents share those sentiments? And this concludes the article, Glendale Prepares for Change in 2026. Let's continue. Our next article is Honor Health opens full-service emergency room, urgent care under one roof in North Peoria. Honor Health held a ribbon-cutting ceremony January 5th to celebrate the opening of its newest healthcare facility, Honor Health Complete Care, Lake Pleasant in North Peoria. The facility, located at 25550 North Lake Pleasant Parkway, is now open. The combined emergency department and urgent care model gives patients convenient access to both levels of care under one roof. Honor Health partnered with Dallas-based Initiative Health to build the 12,172-square-foot space that includes on-site X-ray, CT, and laboratory testing capabilities. Honor Health Complete Care Lake Pleasant is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and staffed with board-certified physicians and advanced practitioners. Urgent care services are available from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m., with emergency room services available around the clock. The complete care model removes the guesswork from an already stressful moment, said Todd Laporte, CEO of Honor Health. Peoria residents didn't have a local emergency department until today. By bringing emergency and urgent care together in one place, patients get the right level of care quickly and are only billed for the care they truly need. As the Northwest Valley continues to be one of the fastest-growing regions in Maricopa County, data indicate an increasing need for expanded healthcare services and improved access across the continuum of care. Honor Health Complete Care Lake Pleasant will play a vital role in meeting those needs, strengthening the area's healthcare infrastructure, and supporting the region's growing population, according to a news release. Peoria is quickly growing, and our community deserves timely, trusted care that keeps pace, said Peoria Mayor Jason Beck. This complete care location brings convenient, high-quality services to families right here at home, now and in the future. Visit honorhealth.com/complete care for more information. And this concludes the article. Honor Health opens full-service emergency room, urgent care under one roof in North Peoria. Our next article, ambitious entertainment destination in Peoria abandoned. Article written by Philip Haldeman. A high-end entertainment destination that was planning to bring an elevated experience to the P83 Entertainment District in Peoria has been abandoned, the owners recently announced in a news release. Tavern Park, a 13,000-square-foot sports bar and entertainment venue being brought forward by the team behind Lookout Tavern in Phoenix, will not move forward, according to the release. The Lookout Tavern in Phoenix is owned by Kevin and Erica Stout. Tavern Park was planned for 8320 West Mariners Way in the space formerly occupied by Modern Round. Features would have included a climate-controlled indoor park, a rooftop lounge, and a nightclub, all under one roof. Owners have been forced to abandon the project that had initially been planned to open in summer 2025. After exhausting every reasonable option to move it forward, we made the difficult decision to discontinue development. As much as we wanted to bring Tavern Park to life, it will not be moving forward, the release says. We invested a substantial amount of time, energy, and capital into getting this project off the ground. Early on, we had real momentum and a lot of optimism. But in the end, the broader economic environment, paired with investor interest not coming together at the level required, made it impossible to proceed responsibly. Tavern Park had plans for a variety of amenities. The first floor was to be anchored by a high-end sports bar, offering a premium viewing experience with a high-definition LED wall that wrapped 125 feet around the space. In addition, traditional and private dining areas and a dog-friendly double-deck patio were planned to provide guests with options for dining and socializing. The patio was to feature comfortable seating and a welcoming atmosphere for guests and their furry friends. The main bar space was to transform into a high-energy nightclub on weekends after dark. The second floor featured an elevated space to include an indoor lounge and rooftop deck offering views of the West Valley. Even though this chapter is ending, our commitment to this area is not. Maybe someday, with better timing and the right resources, we'll have the chance to revisit this vision and do it the way it deserves to be done, the owner state. For now, we're focused on what we can control, keeping Lookout Tavern fresh, strong, and successful so we can continue serving the community we love. And this concludes the article, Ambitious Entertainment Destination in Peoria Abandoned. Our next article is Festival to Bring Award-Winning Barbecue to Surprise This Weekend by Independent News Media. P.S. I Love AZ is hosting the West Valley Barbecue Festival this weekend in Surprise. What organizers are calling the greatest show in smoke, the event is scheduled for noon to 6 p.m. Saturday, January 10th, today, at Mark Coronado Park, 15960 North Bullard Avenue. Some of the top barbecue vendors in the state will be among more than 100 expected to appear. The event will include an amateur rib competition, beer gardens, charity pig races, a petting zoo, pony rides, axe throwing, and a kids' zone. Live local entertainment include musicians The Blackjacks, Ricky Harris, The Hourglass Cats, and Herb and Life. DJ Smooth will also be spinning tunes all day. Attendees will be able to vote for their favorite barbecue and sample ribs in the competition. Admission is $10, while those 10 and under are free. Contact events at psiloveaz.com. And this concludes the article, Festival to Bring Award-Winning Barbecue to Surprise This Weekend. Our next article is Surprise Stadium Needs National Anthem Singers for Spring Training, written by Independent News Media. Surprise Stadium needs experienced vocalists to perform the national anthem for spring training games between February 20th and March 21st. Vocalists can apply through 11:59 p.m. on Friday, January 9th. Vocalists are encouraged to submit early to ensure consideration. Limited spots are available. Due to the number of submissions, only the applicants who are selected will be contacted in early February. Contact Cecilia Covarrubio of the Surprise Sports and Entertainment and Culture Department at the following. Cecilia, and that is spelled C-E-C-I-L-I-A dot Covarrubio, which is spelled C-O-V-A-R-R-U-B-I-O at surpriseaz.gov. And this concludes the article, Surprise Stadium Needs National Anthem Singers for Spring Training. Our next article is Glendale E-Bike Ordinance Going into Effect, written by Glendale Star staff. New rules on electric-powered bicycles, e-bikes, and scooters, e-scooters in Glendale went into effect January 9th. The ordinance passed by the City Council in December is intended to enhance rider safety and ensure responsible use of streets and sidewalks shared with pedestrians and vehicles. E-bikes are categorized into three classes based on how they operate and their maximum speed. Class 1, pedal assist only, no throttle, with a top speed of 20 miles per hour. Class 2 has pedals, a throttle, and a top speed of 20 miles per hour. Class 3 has pedals, a throttle, and a top speed of 28 miles per hour. Minimum age requirements apply to all riders. E-scooter riders must be at least 12 years old. E-bike Class 1 and 2 riders must be at least 14 years old. E-bike Class 3 riders must be at least 16 years old. All e-bikes and e-scooters operated at night must be equipped with a white front light, red rear light, and reflectors. Riders must follow all traffic laws and ride responsibly. Reckless riding, traveling against traffic, and intentionally lifting a wheel while moving are not allowed. Helmets are required for anyone under the age of 18. The Glendale Police Department will begin enforcing the new ordinance January 9th, and violations will result in fines starting at $50 and increasing to up to $500 for 3 violations within a 12-month period. For details on the ordinance, are available at glendaleaz.gov. This concludes the article, Glendale E-Bike Ordinance Going into Effect. Our next article is Arts and Culture Fest Returns to Glendale. Article by Joshua Fenty, Peoria Times staff writer. The Arts and Culture Fest will return to the city of Glendale for the new year, bringing a lineup of live art, entertainment, and the popular classic car competition. Arts and Culture Administrator Christopher Taylor said the festival is sure to attract an array of interests and tastes. "We want to be able to provide something for everyone," he said. "If you're passionate about cars, if you love art, if you're interested in music, dancing, and mingling, or if you just want to get out for an afternoon in the beautiful Arizona sun when the weather's starting to turn, we have something for you." The theme from the 2025 celebration will return for this year's festivities: Makers, Rhythms, and Rides. Scheduled for January 31st, the festival invites residents to the Civic Center Plaza and The Lot in downtown Glendale from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. The car show features 75 to 100 classic automobiles vying for prizes across multiple categories. Various vehicle owners, enthusiasts, and gearheads will be in attendance to share their passions and the care that goes into their respective car. According to Taylor, one of the fan favorite entries was the iconic DeLorean, time machine car from Back to the Future. The festival also includes various live art experiences, including chalk art, mural creation, and plein air painting, artists painting outdoors in real time. In addition to the car show and art demonstrations, the event will feature a rotation of 5 live local bands, various food, drink, and dessert trucks. Lemonade stands, hot dogs, Cuban and Mexican food are common selections, but the local restaurants and eateries will still be open during the festival as well. 15 to 20 vendor booths will be available, offering an array of wares and merchandise for customers to purchase. One of the vendors, Taylor said, transforms upholstery from cars into purses, jackets, and wallets. Additionally, Andretti Indoor Karting and Games will be one of the many businesses in attendance, sharing details of their establishment with the public. For the younger festival goers, there will be an interactive activity plan for children and a dedicated kids zone with bounce houses. The Arts and Culture Administrator noted that the Cub Scouts engage in a Pinewood Derby during the event, giving the boys and girls the opportunity to earn a Bobcat badge. Arts and Culture Fest originated in 2023 when the city of Glendale hosted the Super Bowl at State Farm Stadium. Taylor explained that the overall success of the festival encouraged the city to continue hosting the event in the future. "We can't have the Super Bowl every year, but we wanted to maintain the Arts and Culture Fest every year," he said. "Since 2023, we have continued to work with Art State Arizona to sponsor the downtown Glendale Arts and Culture Fest. It's taken on a few different iterations over the past few years, but we're very excited about the current concept and format that we have. Mayor Jerry Wyers echoed the sentiment, noting the traction the event has gained since its inception. "I am proud of the statewide recognition our Arts and Culture Festival is receiving," Wyers said in a statement. "This award reflects the hard work our city does each and every day to enhance the quality of life for our residents. We remain committed to promoting family-friendly entertainment that is accessible and affordable for everyone." Each year, the Arts and Culture Fest attracts roughly 5,000 attendees, according to Taylor. Following 6 months of preparation and with the event date approaching, the Arts and Culture Administrator said that he hopes the festival goers will be taken with the cultural variety of downtown Glendale. "The cultural identity of downtown Glendale is so diversified, which is wonderful," Taylor said. "One of our taglines for the city of Glendale is, 'You belong here.' And we want to make sure we provide opportunities for everyone to be able to come and enjoy Arts and Culture Fest. Not every single thing that we do will resonate with every single person, but there will be something here at the fest that everyone can find joy in." And again, this will be on Saturday, January 31st at the Civic Center Plaza in Glendale. This is free admission, and for more information, look to glendaleaz.gov. And this concludes the article, Arts and Culture Fest Returns to Glendale. Our next article is When the Fireworks Fade, article by Judy Bloom, West Valley View columnist. Boom, bang, pop. It was that time of year again. Yep, the fireworks were amazing and loud. Many are still dealing with the aftermath. Fireworks, gunshots, animals. The trifecta of a New Year's Eve blast. 1 week into 2026, and for some, the fallout still lingers. Fireworks are a fixture of celebration around the world, but our furry and feathered friends often don't like thundering booms and crackling gunshots. Animals hear at a greater intensity than humans, and they do not understand why there are sudden loud and frightening noises. Animal researchers state that over 50% of dogs are terrified of fireworks. Birds, also frightened, have been known to crash into buildings, and many humans are triggered by explosive sounds. Horses are not fans of fireworks either. They are prey animals and often want to run, kick, snort, jump, and hide when they hear explosive sounds. We had a big brown mare named Angel who was calm and the matriarch of the barn. Other horses looked to her for direction and comfort. But on New Year's Eve or Independence Day, Angel would go wild, kicking the stalls, pacing, neighing, and rearing. The other horses would follow suit. One crisp, starry night several years ago on New Year's Eve, my husband Doug and I went down to the barn. Once we could hear fireworks in the distance, we put on the radio, sat on lawn chairs in the breezeway, and comforted the horses. I braided Angel's mane. Even Roy, the rooster, got in on the act and crowed several times, indicating all was well with the world. Doug went up to the house on the ATV and came back down with a bottle of champagne and two glasses. Best New Year's Eve ever. We had a ranch dog named Bo, who we found bleeding profusely in a bush on our property. Doug bandaged him up and took him to the vet. We thought Bo had been attacked by coyotes, but he had been shot. He survived, but during holidays when gunfire or fireworks erupted, we made a place for him in a bathtub and covered him with a blanket, then turned up the radio. It seemed to work. Fireworks started an estimated 14,700 firework injuries in 2025, including the burning of 2,000 structures and 300 vehicle fires. Americans spend $2.3 billion on fireworks every year. New Year's Eve 2025 was a busy night in Phoenix with over 100 calls of fires. One fire chief says holiday fireworks are like one big dumpster fire. Police departments throughout the country implore residents to stop firing guns at midnight. A heartbreaking statistic from the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals claims that in our country, one in five pets bolt and go missing on holidays from firework noise. Sure, we love to celebrate. A new year, big dreams, fun party. We need to try harder to protect our pets and wildlife. Chipping, leashing, hiding, comforting, and holding may get our furry friends through the next round of celebrations, because July 4th will be here in the blink of an eye or in the blast of a firecracker. And this concludes the article, When the Fireworks Fade. That's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining me for the West Valley News Digest. Remember, you can hear Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or smart home device. I'm Karen Kelly, your Sun Sounds volunteer. Please stay tuned for more great programming on Sun Sounds of Arizona.